All right, this is the title of this one is Savior of All Men. We got time enough to do it. So y'all relax. This has got to be a good one. Here's Brother E.C. Moore.
Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study also. I thank you for watching today. Appreciate it. I ask you to turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 1. And as I usually do, I'd like to remind you to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. Be sure and open your Bible with me and study with me. Today we're going to talk about the Savior of all men. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. And in fact, the Bible tells me very clearly that God would have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. And He said there's one mediator between men and between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, there is a Savior available to whosoever will believe on Him today. That Savior's name is Jesus Christ. And so, we're in a time when people, religiously speaking, in the world are worshiping a baby. They're worshiping a child, and they make a big deal about it. Absolutely fascinating, and I have absolutely no complaint about the nativity scenes that I see, but yet I think about it in a manner that probably is absolutely the way it is. There are people today that have the nativity scenes, and people go by and watch the nativity scenes, and in some cases go out and worship at that site and whatever. And yet that's basically the same as worshiping Buddha or whoever. And some of you probably be offended by me saying this, but God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no image unto thyself of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down before them. Thou shalt not worship them." He said, "I'm a jealous God." And so you say, well, this image that we have here is an image of the baby Jesus. And maybe that's what you think it is. And yet you certainly did not see the baby Jesus. And you are told in the scripture that you're not to make an image to the baby Jesus anyway. And be that as it may, whatever it is. But my point here is that there are people today by the millions that are worshiping a baby that do not worship the man. Absolutely amazing. There isn't anything you can do much with a baby. I'm talking about they can't respond except by crying. People can just sort of laugh with him and tickle him and carry on, pick him up and carry him places that he doesn't want to go. So there's not a whole lot you can that a baby is going to do to stop you from doing those kind of things. And so people take advantage of that. And so they worship the baby Jesus, they say. But how about a king? How about a lion? The Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when He comes again, He's coming in power and great glory. And He's coming with wrath, with a sword out His mouth. And with that sword, He's going to smite the nations. How many people are willing to bow before Him? In fact, there will be armies that will be assembled at that time, and they'll be going to a place to fight against Him that comes down from the heavens above and comes down riding on a white horse. Well, I want you to think about the God of heaven and earth, the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of this earth. I want you to think about the Creator of all men. I want you to think about the Redeemer. I want you to see this one that is to rule with a rod of iron over the nations of this world. But more than any of that, I want you to see the man, the Savior of all men, those that believe. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now I realize there are going to be millions of people that are going to be worshiping this baby during this period of time, and they're going to be calling upon Mary and talking about her being the mother of God, and on and on and on. But I want you to see something here. I want you to, let's talk about the Son of God. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Jesus carries with it the idea of Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. In Matthew chapter 2, the King of the Jews, which of course is the child king. Notice in chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And on and on. And so they bring gifts, and they offer the gifts. Now, Jesus Christ is more unto me than just the baby king worshipped by religious people today. And so that's what I want to refer to. I want you to notice first the fleshly side of this Lord. I want you to consider that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the individual that put the stars in their sockets, the individual in the Garden of Eden, the individual that took dirt and made a man and called him Adam, breathed into him the breath of life, made him to become a living soul. I want you to think about him, the creator of all things, God Almighty, coming down from his glory and engulfing himself in a body of flesh, taking upon himself a tent, a tabernacle of flesh, and dwelling among men. I want you to think about God himself offering himself as a sacrifice for your sins. Don't worry about the baby Jesus Christ. Worry about the man Christ Jesus. Worry about the one that died for you on Calvary. Be concerned with the one who took your sins upon himself and became your sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the one that I want you to worship. That's the one that I want you to think about this morning. Notice in Romans, turn please to Romans chapter 1, and notice the flesh here. Notice the fleshly side. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Please observe in resurrection. Hold on to Romans there and turn to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, a reference in verse 13 to the dear Son of God, the Son of God, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I suspect that the image and the firstborn is a reference to his resurrection there. Verse 16, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, as of right now. And by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, very God, creator of all things. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the God, the Lord God of heaven. He is the Lord God of earth. And therefore, he is your Lord. You may never confess him as such. The word Lord means owner, and the Bible said that the Corinthians are bought with a price. Therefore, they're to glorify God in their body and their spirit, which are his. And the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that there is a chain of command. It doesn't say these words. In other words, there's Almighty God, and there's his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of every man. Jesus Christ is the head of every man. He's the head of every man, having died for them, having purchased them with his blood at Calvary, having been buried and having resurrected from the dead. He is very God, and he's Lord of everything that exists today. By him they all consist. He is Lord. And you may never bow before him in this life, but there is a day coming that you shall. The Bible refers to a time when every knee is going to bend, every head is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the Lord of all things. And yet, people go to these manger scenes, and there's a doll lying there, and they say, that's the baby Jesus. And they could take that and rip it apart. They can throw it away. They could burn it. They can throw it in the trash can or whatever they desire to do with it. But bless God, the one that is the Savior of all men, you can't do that with him. You say they crucified him. No, he gave himself for your sins at Calvary. God delivered him up for you. He died on Calvary in order to save you. It isn't that men overpowered him. It is that he relented and gave himself to that in order that he might die for your sins. Now, in Romans chapter 1, again, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians, and notice in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was made of a woman, and his genealogy goes back through David to Almighty God in Luke chapter 3. There's a difference in the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 and that of the book of Matthew. The one in the book of Matthew ends up with Joseph. The one in Luke ends up with Mary. And they're certainly not the same. For instance, back here, starting, you'd have like David, the king. And then on one side, you'd have Nathan. On the other side, you'd have Solomon. Now, the lineage of Nathan comes over here to Mary. The lineage of Solomon comes over here to Joseph. But there is an individual in the line of Joseph back here that you read about back in Jeremiah. And in that lineage back there, there are idolaters down through here, but that isn't all. God said that there is one man in that lineage back there, and he said no individual of his seed shall ever sit upon the throne judging Israel. If Joseph, then, is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the NIV, ASV, RSV, Moffat, William, New English, and the Montgomery, and all the... If Joseph is the father of the Lord Jesus, as in Luke 2:33, then you don't have a Savior. If Joseph is the father of that baby in that manger there, forget it, folks. Just give it up right now. He's no more than any other baby. And he can't sit upon the throne of David. But then Joseph isn't his father, and the King James Bible is right on the money every time. And so his lineage goes through Mary back to God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His flesh came through Mary, but it didn't come through Joseph. All right, he was made of a woman, fleshly speaking. Now, notice the man. Turn in Romans chapter 5. We're concerned with the man here more than the child. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse, come down to verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. That man is Adam. Now come down to verse 17. For by one man's offense, reference to Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In other words, there's one man on one side and one man on the other side. One man brought sin into the world, the other man brought righteousness into the world. One man that brought sin is Adam. The one that brought righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam disobeyed God, Jesus obeyed God. Adam sinned against God and brought sin. Jesus Christ obeyed God, died for the sin, died for you at Calvary that you might be made righteous if you'll receive Him as your Lord and Savior. The man Christ Jesus. We're not talking about a baby dying for your sins here. We're talking about a man among men, the man Christ Jesus. Turn in your Bible to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, and notice in verse 5, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The only death that would suffice is the death of the cross. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made him, a reference to Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The flesh of Jesus Christ, the flesh came through Mary, and the flesh was prepared. God prepared a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins at Calvary. Now notice the other side. Notice the divine side, the God side. Turn back in your Bible with me, please, to Exodus. Excuse me. And look in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, notice in verse 2. Exodus 33 verse 2 says, I will send an angel before thee. He's talking to Moses now. As Moses is going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I will send an angel before thee. notice in verse 14. In verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Come to verse 19. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, the point is that the angel of the Lord back there is God himself. It's the manifestation of Almighty God. Look in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And notice verse 19. Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind, and on and on and on. In other words, that angel is the angel of the Lord, is the angel of God. Look in chapter 13, verse 20. And they took their journey through from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. Now watch. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and on and on and on. It is the Lord that is leading them. And he's doing so in two different ways. But I want you to see here this angel of the Lord. Notice in Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not. He will not pardon your transgressions. My name is in him. In other words, the Lord himself, the Jehovah, of Matthew chapter 1, his name should be called Jesus. That's Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior is the angel of the Lord that is going in front of the children of Israel here. turn, please, to Isaiah, and look at Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. Give me just a second. In Isaiah 63, notice in verse 9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of God's presence. In other words, God was present in the angel. Look in chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 42. And notice in verse 8, Isaiah 42, look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread the... And on and on. Verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Notice in chapter 43. In Isaiah 43, verse 3. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Do you see that? The king that's going to sit upon the throne of David is the Lord himself, who led the children of Israel as the angel of the Lord as they left Egypt. Look in verse 15. I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Notice in chapter 44, Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Did you ever notice that that one of the book of Revelation, hold on to Isaiah and turn to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, and notice who this is. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Please observe that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, the book Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave it unto him. God gave it unto him to give unto his servants. He sent and signified it by his angel unto John. Look in verse 10. The reference to I in verse 10 is John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. According to Revelation chapter 1, this message was sent unto God by the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Come down to verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. We're talking about Jehovah Savior. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the Lord God of heaven. We're talking about the Lord God of this earth. We're talking about the one that you're going to bow down before someday and say, He or you are the Lord. And I bow before you as such. He's the head of all men. I want you to see that inside that body of flesh, inside that tent of flesh, is one that is God, the Creator of heaven and earth. God took upon himself a tent of flesh and dwelt among men and walked among men. The flesh is not God. The flesh is the house. The flesh is the tent. And yet, the blood that was shed is God's blood. Turn, please, to Acts. And notice in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, notice in verse 28, Acts 20, verse 28, Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. In other words, the blood that was shed at Calvary is the blood of God. God's blood was poured out for you. Think about all the thousands and thousands of people today that are bowing before an idol, bowing before a god. Season of the year, which is supposed to represent the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you couldn't be farther from the truth. You tried. Well, what I want you to see is that the Lord upon himself a tent of flesh. He was made in the likeness of men, made of a woman, in order that he could die for your sins. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. There isn't any verse of scripture that I know of that signifies this any better than John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, the apostles are seated. Jesus Christ girds himself with a towel, takes a pan of water, and Jesus Christ kneels in front of those fishermen and begins to wash their feet as a servant. He bathes their feet. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. So I know something new. I know that the one that's born of Mary, I know where the flesh came from. I know what the flesh is for. But I know something else. I know that he died for your sin. Your sin was placed on him on Calvary. And after his death, he was taken down and put in a tomb. But then he arose. And when he arose from there and ascended up, he took the position upon himself of Almighty God, of which he was in the beginning. He humbled himself and died for you. We're talking about the man Christ Jesus. We're not talking about a baby in a manger. We're talking about a man hanging on a cross here, and a man buried in a tomb, and a man arises from there, but when he arises from there, he's bowed before and seen and worshipped as Almighty God. My God is Jesus Christ. My Lord and my God, said Thomas when he finally saw him and fell on his face before him and said, my Lord and my God, will you do that right now? Will you bow before him and proclaim him